Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read a portion of our epistle lesson from Hebrews chapter 12. For you have not come to what could be touched, to a blazing fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words. Instead, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, a festive gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn whose names have been written in heaven, to a judge who is God of all, to the spirits of righteous people made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. In our Bible study on Sunday mornings, we are looking at the Ten Commandments right now, and we're about to get into the Sixth Commandment. The Sixth Commandment, like all the commandments, but maybe especially in some ways, the Sixth Commandment has really been kind of decimated and taken a real hit in our culture. I saw a survey that was a little less than a year old, which says that of the millennials, those 18 to 37, and this kind of surprised me, if it's an accurate survey, 30% identified as GLBTQ. So, the Sixth Commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Now, this Sixth Commandment assumes that we were made male or female. It assumes that marriage is made up of one of each. It assumes that it mandates that those within marriage are to be faithful to one another and honor one another. It assumes a lot of things. But very clearly, this commandment is ignored and being broken today. But we have to remember that this commandment is not only broken by people misidentifying themselves or agreeing that you can identify in those ways contrary to Scripture. Thank you. Mic was off, sorry. I won't start over, though. But we have to remember that we break this commandment every time we, as husbands, don't love our wives as Christ loved the church, every time a wife does not submit to her husband as the church is to submit to the church, every time there is a lustful thought or a view of pornography, there is a multitude of ways to break this commandment. And that brings us to our text. We are introduced to two different mountains. These two mountains are described, and the first mountain is Mount Sinai, where God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments. And that was a horrifying, terrifying experience. So, for example, we read in Deuteronomy and Exodus that the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud, and gloom. Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke. The whole mountain trembled greatly. The sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. All the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and the people were afraid and trembled. You know, so why this horrifying experience that God brought about when it came to giving to Moses the Ten Commandments? Why? Well, Obviously, God wanted his people to know the seriousness of the Ten Commandments. He wanted them to know who stood behind this and authored these Ten Commandments, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, who is just. He wanted them to know what we would have to face if we violated these commandments, the terrible consequences for violating these commandments. You know, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But we have the second mountain. The writer of Hebrews says, you know, you haven't come to this Mount Sinai. Instead, you have come to another mountain, Mount Zion. Not the physical Zion in the physical city of Jerusalem in Israel, or back then Judea. But as he clarifies, you have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. And you have come to myriads of angels, a festive gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn whose names have been written in heaven. You've come to the assembly of the saved. You have come to a judge. And that sounds kind of scary, but keeping in mind the context here, it's not the judge of the Ten Commandments of Mount Sinai, a judge whose verdict against you would be determined by how well you keep those Ten Commandments, because you haven't. You failed in many ways. But it is a judge who is directed by, whose verdict is directed by, whose verdict is determined by, whose verdict is based on, for those who have gathered, on one thing and one thing only, and on one person and one person only, Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. A mediator, somebody between. So, the Almighty God here, you and I down here, and this mediator who brings this covenant. This covenant is between God and us, between the Almighty just God and we poor sinners. Like Jesus is saying, I have come to be a mediator and to establish a new covenant, and I have. You have placed on me, God the Father, the sins of all those down here, and you have placed on me your wrath and anger and punishment for their sins. That was the covenant I came to establish. That is how I established it. It is a covenant of forgiveness. And that's why God declares to us a verdict as judge of forgiven, of not guilty, of righteousness. So you have come to the spirits of righteous people made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the mediator of this new covenant. You have come to forgiveness of your sins, and you have come to the sprinkled blood of Christ. Now, I want you to notice something here. So we have these two mountains. We have Sinai and we have Zion. A world of difference between the two. But I want you to notice that regarding this second beautiful gospel mountain, the writer of Hebrews is not saying you will come to Zion, but you have come. You have come to Zion. And this is not just figurative language about the future. This is an unseen reality now. And I'll give you another example from Scripture of an unseen reality. In 2 Kings chapter 6, there's the account of the king of Aram who was fighting against the king of Israel. And he was trying to get to places where the king of Israel was supposed to be with his army, but every time he went there, the king of Israel wasn't there. The army wasn't there. And he was very frustrated. And so he came to the conclusion, I must have a mole or a spy among my servants. So we read, tell me, the king of Aram says, tell me which one of us is for the king of Israel. One of his servants said, no one, my lord the king, but Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in your bedroom. So the king of Aram said, go and see where Elisha is so I can send men to capture him. When he was told Elisha is in Dothan, he sent chariots, horses, and a massive army there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God, the servant of Elisha now, got up early and went out, he discovered an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. So the servant asked Elisha, the prophet, oh, my master, what are we to do? Elisha said, and this is where it gets interesting, and here's where it applies to the point I'm making. Elisha said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us outnumber those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed, Lord, please open his eyes and let him see. So the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So he saw the army of God. You know, it was an unseen reality up until that point, but nevertheless, it was reality even when he didn't see it. And so my point is, you have come, not will come, but you have come to all these beautiful things even now. Even though you can't see them with your eyes or hear them with your ears or touch them with your hands, you have come. And this is especially true when we gather here. You know, if God would open our physical eyes, we would see the heavenly Jerusalem. We would see his holy army of angels. We would see a festive gathering. We would see the assembly of righteous ones. We would see the spirits of loved ones who have died in the faith, who have been made perfect by the new covenant of forgiveness. We would see Jesus. We would see them if God would allow us to see them. But you have come to them right here. And you have come to the last one there, the sprinkled blood of Christ. Well, where is that blood? In the Lord's Supper. That wine in the Lord's Supper, when Jesus speaks the word over it through this pastor, when Jesus speaks the words over it, that wine does not merely symbolize the blood of Christ, it is the blood of Christ. When Jesus speaks the word, that bread is not merely symbolic of his body, it is his body. It is an unseen reality, but nevertheless, it is a reality. Now, let me tell you why this is so important that you have come and that you will continue to come into the presence of this beautiful gospel Zion, even though it's an unseen reality. It's important because the full reality, we could call it, the full reality of Zion. The full reality of the heavenly Jerusalem is still to come. And until we get to that full reality of the new Jerusalem, we must endure. As was mentioned in last week's epistle lesson, just a few verses prior to the ones here in the book of Hebrews, we must endure. And we are seeking to endure in a present darkness. And this present darkness includes our old Adam, our sin, our violations against the Ten Commandments. It includes the sinful world. It includes Satan. And these are formidable foes. They do not want us to endure. And they come at us at every angle possible, most of which we don't even know about. But they come at us. And so, we have come here. And we must continue to come to Jesus, to his new covenant, to his blood. For in this Zion is the gospel in word and sacrament, and it is there so that we can endure. It is there so that we can continue to be comforted with forgiveness. It is there so that we can persevere in the true faith. It is there so we can be strengthened in this life when we have to face so much out there today. And it is there so that we can finally be delivered. So, my brothers and sisters, you have come not to Sinai, that horrifying scene of God the judge who was angry and will punish, but you have come to Zion. You have come to Jesus. You have come to the new covenant. And you have come and you will come today to receive the blood of Jesus. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.